coping cogently with contingencies, Avonside against Southern Response. In Avonside Holdings Limited against Southern Response Earthquake Services Limited, full citation details from the blog, nzinsurancelaw.com, the Court of Appeal faced a difficult question regarding an insurer's liability for a contingency sum for rebuilding works which, by definition, were never going to occur. The insurer, AMI, now Southern Response, insured the policyholders, Avonside, residential dwelling in Christchurch. As a result of the Canterbury earthquakes, the policy was damaged beyond economic repair. The policyholder sold the land to the Crown in accordance with a government scheme. A relevant provision of the policy stated, C. If your rental house is damaged beyond economic repair, you can choose any one of the following options. 1. To rebuild on the same site. We will pay the full replacement cost of rebuilding your rental house. 2. To buy another house. We will pay the cost of buying another house, including necessary legal and associated fees. This cost must not be greater than rebuilding your rental house on its present site. 3. A cash payment. We will pay the market value of your rental house at the time of loss. Full replacement cost meant replacement with a new item or repairing to an as-new condition. The policyholder elected to purchase another property. In this case, the rebuilding cost, as envisaged in the buy another house option, was inevitably hypothetical because the land had already been sold and the property would never be rebuilt on the same site. In the High Court, the parties disagreed about whether a contingency sum and professional fees should be included in calculating the notional rebuild cost. They also disagreed about how the sum apportioned for external works should be calculated. In this short note, the focus is on the contingency sum issue only. At trial, the policyholder's quantity surveyor expert witness apportioned a sum of money for contingency fees, whereas the insurer's expert did not apportion anything, on the basis that there should be no allowance at all. The High Court held that there should be no allowance for contingencies in the calculation of the cost of rebuilding the property. His Honour Justice Mackenzie held that, in a notional rebuild, there could, by definition, be no unexpected items for which a contingency sum would be provided in a contract. What was required was the best assessment of the cost of rebuilding, based on all known circumstances. As there would be no actual rebuild, that assessment would never be put to the test. So, there was no need to add a contingency sum to reflect possible contingencies which would never be encountered. In the Court of Appeal, the policyholder contended that it was necessary to assume, hypothetically, that the rebuild would occur. Costs could not be excluded from the estimate of the rebuild cost just because the rebuild was not going to happen and costs would not be incurred. If that approach were taken, it is difficult to see what costs could ever be included in the estimate it submitted. The insurer contended that no allowance for contingencies was needed because, given the nature of the notional exercise involved in estimating the rebuild costs, all relevant risks were already known. Rather, what needed to be worked out was the cost of duplicating the construction of the property as provided for in the original plans. Where contingencies did arise, they could be dealt with under a provision of the policy which provided for cover for additional costs. The Court of Appeal therefore had a clear choice between ordering that something, or nothing at all, be paid for contingencies. It analysed the insurer's position in this way at paragraph 49 of the judgment, and I'm quoting, "The approach contended for by Southern Response means that costs for contingencies and professional fees that would be incurred where the rental house was actually rebuilt on the same site, whether as part of the full replacement cost or as part of additional costs, are excluded from the cost of excluded from the calculation of the cost of rebuilding under the to buy another house option. The rationale for that exclusion is that because the exercise is notional and not an actual one, contingencies that would, as a result, not be incurred need not be included. Southern Response argues that this is the correct interpretation of the policy. With regards to this submission, the court held at paragraph 51 of the judgment, the cost of rebuilding the rental house on its present site involves both the full replacement cost and additional costs, encompassing contingencies and professional fees. That the amount the insurer would be liable for where the insured chose to rebuild on the same site. Option. I'll read that sentence again. That is the amount the insurer would be liable for where the insured chose the to rebuild on the same site. Option. We are satisfied, therefore, that it is an amount equivalent to the sum of both the replacement and additional costs, and not the lesser amount of solely, quote, the full replacement cost, close quote, that is to be paid by the insurer to the insured where the insured elects the buy another house option. In our view, if the policy had intended any limit to the full replacement cost to apply in clause C, 2, it would have said so. In the article that I'm reading from, I've put some italics in that last section, and hopefully through my tone, I've indicated where those lie. This line of reasoning can be broken down in this way, I suggest. An election to buy another house under clause C2 was referable to the cost of rebuilding the property on the same site under clause C1, which, and I'm talking about clause C1 here, was limited to, quote, the full replacement cost, close quote. Ordinarily, the full replacement cost for an actual rebuild would include a contingency sum. If the insurer had wanted, quote, the full replacement cost, close quote, to be net of a contingency sum for the purpose of clause C2, the Court of Appeal reasoned, then it needed to say so. This reasoning, as in other Canterbury earthquake cases, involved an assessment of where the risk should lie, where the policy is capable of different reasonable meanings. The insurer's contention that it should never be liable for costs which by definition could never be incurred is attractive. This is instinctively the correct position as a matter of logic. However, contract interpretation is concerned with more than logic, it is concerned with meaning. Clauses C1 and 2 use the concept of rebuilding the property on the same site as a common concept and without any distinction between the actual rebuild, clause C1, or a notional rebuild, clause C2. So the insurer's argument, as attractive as it is, can only be regarded as implicit in the wording rather than explicit. Viewed this way, it is fair for the insurer to bear the risk because clearly it has the ability to control the way the policy is worded in a way that the policy holder does not. Simply put, if the insurer wanted contingencies to be excluded where the policy holder elected to buy another property, then the policy needed to say so clearly and unequivocally. Further, this is not a case where such an outcome is inconsistent with commercial common sense or anything like it, which may justify the provision being read down. As I've commented previously, replacement insurance is consciously different to indemnity insurance. It is new for old. It is, in fact, a permissible windfall on the behalf of the policyholder. An economist will tell you it is what the insurer promised to provide in the event of accidental damage and what the policyholder believed it was paying for. So, while this outcome will put the policyholder in a relatively advantageous position when it goes to buy a new house, it is an eventuality that was contemplated by the policy based on a reasonable interpretation of it. Well, I'm Steve Keel. That was my analysis of Avonside and Southern Response. Tune in a week or so for the next update. Thank you.